This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to the second hour of your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue, a sunny North Michigan Avenue. And it turns out this is just going to be a beautiful day and a great Monday with forecast highs near 90. Just a fantastic way to celebrate, I guess, the unofficial end of summer. And, of course, we've got the Jazz Fest going on, and I know one of the great fans of the Jazz Fest is my next guest, my good friend Christopher Mooney, a political science professor at the University of Illinois at Springfield and part of the University of Illinois' Institute of Government and Public Affairs. Chris, thanks for joining me this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure, Rick.
So we've just been talking to Republican State Representative Avery Born, who is part of the negotiators, among the negotiators of the compromise plan on school funding. And, you know, the last kind of component of the end of the budget stalemate that lasted over 2 years. And, of course, just like that budget stalemate and the factors behind it, the school funding issue was kind of a subset of that, with some of the kind of the same issues going on, of issues involving organized labor, issues about state funding. And, you know, it was good to see a rare bit of, I guess, compromise here, and something, I quite frankly, I wasn't sure was going to happen until perhaps later in September.
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable. And you know, anytime they revamp the school funding formula, it's a major accomplishment, because you know, it doesn't happen very often, and it's one of the most difficult things to do, because it affects every single state rep and senator's district in a real, you know, visceral way, because schools are so vital to you know, the fabric of society. And I think you really hit on it in the last segment when you talked about the difference, you know, the fact that they've, in a sense, held harmless all the districts. They said, look, you know, nobody's going to lose. It's just who's going to gain more. And that was, you know, an important component of this, because when you ask a state rep to vote on something that's going to hurt their district, it's a very difficult ask. And in this way, at least, you know, the idea is that nobody's going to be any worse off, but some districts are going to be better off. That's a little bit easier for them to take, I think.
Yeah, and in the past, that was always the problem, was that it was winners versus losers. And I mean, the last time when Governor Edgar tried to do the property tax for income tax swap, that was with the Republican legislature. And they didn't go for it, and part of the reason was you already had the suburbs that felt that they were already paying for the rest of the state, in essence, and now you're talking about taking even the minuscule money, state money, away from their schools.
Yeah, even though, you know, it's in some sense it's a perception thing. You know, the fact that you're not getting more, or you're getting less now, you're not going to get more in the future. I mean, it's not anything more than something that's going to it's a perception issue. For example, I mean, you know, just because the suburbs aren't getting more or aren't getting less now, I mean, they're going to get less later. So it just allows, you know, them to get past that problem and really get at the root problem, and that is the inequity of the system. And it comes down to some real basic question of what, you know, of fairness, and what do we think, you know, at what level do we think schools ought to be equalized in this country? And so, for example, right now, if you're in a school, in a school district, I mean, maybe CPS aside, because there's so many magnets and whatnot, but I mean, the kids are getting largely the same education within a school district, and also within states. I mean, we say you know, like you were mentioning before, that why should a kid's the quality of kids' education depend on the zip code? Well, we don't say there's a problem with why should the quality of a kid's education depend on the state, right? Because the state, you know, if you move from Illinois to Missouri or from Missouri to Kentucky, we think that's a legitimate difference there. Whereas just because somebody's living in, you know, in DuPage County versus Massac County, we don't think that, you know, there's somehow the idea that that's unfair if those schools are not equal because they're within the state. And some, on the other hand, say that, you know, if we're well off and we can afford to buy a very nice house in a very nice area and we value schools more highly, we're willing to tax ourselves more to pay for, you know, better schools, pay teachers more, have a pool sort of thing, then that's, you know, that's okay, and that's a person's right. And that, you know, that's kind of the fundamental debate, I think.
We're speaking with Chris Mooney. He's a political science professor at the University of Illinois at Springfield. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm speaking to Chris Mooney, my good friend from the University of Illinois at Springfield. We're talking about the passage of the compromise school funding package, the final component of the enacted budget in the state of Illinois. And I don't know about you, Chris. I just thought this thing might drag out a little bit more into September just for, I don't know, you know, kind of the political pressure.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a hard thing to do. It's like with the budget, you know, nothing. I always tell my students, you know, shockingly, you know, lawmakers are human beings, and human beings don't do anything until the last minute, whenever they can avoid it, right? And you know, the atmosphere down there has been so rancorous. You know, not just this last few weeks, but I mean, really for, you know, almost going on three years now, right? Or 2.5 years. And nothing seems to have gotten done without an incredible amount of pain, an incredible amount of pressure. And this was one that didn't quite make it there. And it's also one that was done, I think it really showcased, and it was interesting that you had Representative Bourne on, I think it really showcased some of the best of the future of the state legislature. And you never know what's going to happen as time goes on, of course, but state reps like Avery Bourne, who's a young, very intelligent, hardworking sort of policy wonk, and then a couple of senators that were really in the weeds on this for several years and driving. Andy Menard is a senator from Bunker Hill who actually Avery Bourne is one of his reps in his area. And then he's a Democrat from down there. And Bunker Hill is, again, on the way to St. Louis from Springfield. And then Jason Berrickman, who is a Republican state senator from
Bloomington.
He calls himself a Bloomington, yeah, Pontiac, that kind of area down there. And they've been working hard on it for a long time. And they are, you know, again, bright, hardworking, kind of shiny pennies, working, you know, at the sort of wonky level, trying to get this thing taken care of. And, you know, that gives me them, you know, just as examples, but it gives me hope for the future because, you know, the people, you know, the old guys like us, they just seem to be doing nothing but beating each other's heads against the wall for, you know, 1 inch of political advantage. And that's not a great way to run a state.
Well, and, you know, yes, we are the graybeards, but I can't really think, despite all the work it took to get this bill, I still don't think that this means is any kind of precursor that, you know, this is a rare kumbaya moment. And now that's been taken care of. And now we're going back into the same battles.
Well, that's probably true. But I'm just thinking, you know, sort of long term and grasping for straws. I mean, that we've all been,
yes,
you know, last couple of years. I mean, what good is kind of come out of this? I mean, it's been nothing but bad. And really, there was a, you know, just even on the school bill, I mean, they pulled that out of the fire because just at the last minute, more or less, I mean, the governor came in with a, you know, with a mandatory veto, which was really you know, seen as a, I think generally seen as a quite an overreach on the part of the governor and his new staff, and raised all sorts of queries. And I think that that may have been what helped move this thing over the finish line as well, is that, you know, the governor in some sense, I mean, I think Representative Boyd was, you know, it was kind to say, well, they saw this as a counteroffer. But, you know, I think it was a little bit more than that. And I think it was a little further than a lot of these legislators, especially downstate Republican legislators. They said, look, this is getting crazy here. You know, we've got to, you know, let's keep things under control. Let's move this along and get it done so the kids can go back to school. And, you know, the governor, you know, to his credit, you know, they tossed up that alternative or that, you know, other, you know, the amendatory veto, and he backed off on it pretty significantly. And of course, you know, we get the little digs. I think it was Rahm who pointed out at this signing ceremony that this, you know, he one of the main things that the governor was upset about the first bill was he called it a Chicago bailout, which he loves to do when he's south of I-80. But then the Chicago Public Schools actually got more money in the final version than they did in the original version. You know, I get the feeling that that was just a little stiff middle finger to the governor from the speaker, I got a feeling.
Well, and you know, I have to tell you, and I wrote in Friday's paper that, you know, when you look at what the Democrat passed Senate Bill 1, and then you had the governor's rewrite of it, and what did he get out of it? I mean, you're right, because frankly, what helped motivate this compromise was the fact that as he went downstate and said, and frankly, even just, you know, a couple of weeks ago down at Republican Day at the State Fair, he says, well, the only thing I did with this bill was take out the special deals for Chicago. And that's not true. I mean, and it was, frankly, it was that overreach, I think, that helped the Republicans. And even remember this, he was asked about, well, what about having people sit down and do a compromise? And the governor's first words were, he laughed. And it's like, sit down and talk? And then that got ridiculed. And the next day he's directing the Republican legislators, please go talk to your Democratic counterparts in the legislature. I mean, he got nothing out of this.
Yeah, he'd been flailing around a little bit, you know, trying to get his feet under him. I think is it the new, he's got this whole new staff. I know you've talked about on the show, and is it that they're trying to figure out, oh, now we actually have to govern here rather than send out press releases, and what does that mean? Or the governor just getting tired? I mean, he's been in a long battle in an area that he is not an expert in. You know, he's a guy who comes from the private sector, and you know, he's not used to this kind of political battle, which takes place, you know, both inside and outside of, you know, spheres of power. And maybe he's just getting tired. I mean, it doesn't look good. He said he lost 20 pounds. It didn't seem like he had that much to lose to start with.
Adjust the Carhartt jacket size now.
There you go. Yeah, it's a tough job, and he's come to – now, the one thing he maybe – I mean, you might say, well, one thing he did get out of it is the private school scholarship fund, which you're going to hear about, or I guess you guys are going to talk about in a minute. You know, and that's something that's near and dear to his heart. He's been a school choice charter school guy forever. That's kind of how he got into politics, and so, you know, you might – That might be the bone.
That seemed to be more a priority of Republican legislators. I'm not sure it came from him. I don't think it did. No, and so, you know, he kept pounding property tax freeze, which of course, you know, valid questions. Nobody likes property taxes, but how does a property tax freeze affect school funding when schools are still so dependent on it? What do you get out of it? This 100 and some districts maybe in the state that are wealthy districts, that it makes it easier for an effort to reduce their property taxes, except as I said to Representative Bourne.
Not that easy.
in those districts, probably the voters there, you know, they're the ones that support property tax increases for their schools, recognizing the trade-off of the value the property value and the property taxes, you know, it enhances the property values. So is that likely to happen? I have serious questions. I mean, all of the yeah. governor's priorities, you know, even in longer term priorities, there's nothing in this bill that really reflects that. I think the only thing he might truly privately point to is the fact of treating charter schools as part of the funding, you know, that public schools get, and charter schools has always been his big kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you ask him, what did you get out of this? I think what he got out of it was he signed a bill. And
well, exactly. And he's learned how to win a little bit here, and maybe likes the fact that, oh, we got something accomplished. And so maybe that will be the benefit to him, and he'll understand that you don't have to get 100% of everything you need to win and to help, to move, you know, to progress on public policy in a way that, you know, when you have a consensus that something is problematic, like the school aid formula, and you can solve it. I mean, this is an historic bill. I mean, it's not a perfect bill, but it's a big one. And, he can take credit for that because he signed it, and there he was. And if he's smart, he will take credit for it and move on, and maybe they'll be able to address some of these other problems in a bipartisan manner. But the problem, of course, is they're going to start circulating petitions for elections for 2018, you know, relatively soon.
Tuesday.
Which means, yeah, that's right, it's Tuesday already. Yeah, yeah. And that you know, so the next election is coming, and it's not going to be pretty.
Boy, that's putting it mild.
It's not that pretty already.
Thank you very much. That's my good friend Chris Mooney, political science professor, University of Illinois at Springfield, and a member of the University of Illinois Institute of Government and Public Affairs. Chris, thanks so much for getting up with me this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be back with more right after this.